With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everyone, I just wanted to give a quick notice that this episode of Private Parts was recorded before coronavirus was announced a pandemic, just to make that very clear. Enjoy the episode.
So, before we kick things off, you probably owe an apology to a couple of people.
I owe an apology.
No, you owe an apology.
I owe an apology to you and Danny and everyone in the room for being late. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I'm man enough to apologise. Well, you never apologise.
Who's the most important people you have to apologise to?
The listener. No, because the listener, I'm talking to you. You know who you are.
Why are you being aggressive?
You listening there. You're the listener. And I'm sorry for being late because I double booked. Actually, I put this podcast recording twice in my calendar, today and tomorrow. So, you know, it's a good thing that I was late. Otherwise, I would have turned up tomorrow and there would have been no recording.
Yeah.
So.
But we do now have a recording tomorrow
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, we got one tomorrow as well, so I'll be here.
So is that all you want to say about the apology?
Yeah, because I think I've apologised enough.
Oh, I think you should say it one more time and then I think we're good.
No, I think...
Just one more time, go on.
I think we should get on with this great podcast yes. with this fantastic guest, Danny Dyer.
One more time, Francis, then we can all be happy.
I'm not apologising again.
Well,
I've apologised more than enough.
I think the listener's upset, but that's okay. Kicking things off to a bad start.
Yay, go Danny.
Yay, go Danny. We have Danny Dyer on the episode today. We're very excited. I have been stalking Danny for a long time to try and get her on the podcast. Sounds very weird, but not stalking her in person.
You've been going through her bins.
I've not been going through her bins or anything at all. I've been speaking to her on Instagram. She wasn't replying, so I was just talking to myself on Instagram.
Why? You remember when I was driving along on the in the car?
Okay, yeah.
And I drove past these bins, and you were going through them. Why do you always do that? Not hygienic.
I was not going through the bins. But we have Danny Dyer on the podcast. She is just such a lovely, warm human in every single way. And
she's great. I love Danny.
Sounds quite weird when you say they're a lovely, warm human.
Yeah. You never fail to make things creepy.
She came on the podcast. We chatted about her book, about Love Island, about her life, love life, heartbreaks, everything at all. You're going to really like this episode.
Actually, it's a great episode.
Yeah, so sit back and relax. Now, please remember...
wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Be safe. Subscribe to our beautiful podcast. Maybe comment below and follow us on Instagram at Private Podcast. Right, ladies and gentlemen, Francis, intro the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Dyer.
So I woke up this morning, right? Okay, and I thought, well, I've got it now. Because normally I wake up and I just put on anything that I want to wear, right? I just go, okay. Normally, this is actually true. Normally, this is bad, but I wake up in the morning and because I wear boxers in bed.
Yeah.
And I don't change my boxers. I just go straight into the day in the boxers that I slept in that night.
That's disgusting.
Why is that disgusting? It's not disgusting at all.
So you don't wake up and have a shower and put fresh boxers on?
Oh, I wake up, I have a shower, but wear the boxers that I wore.
Why?
Well, because I put on fresh ones to go to bed. And then
No, that's not fresh.
That is fresh.
No, I think you should, after every shower, put clean boxers on. Imagine if, like, I did that. That'd be weird.
Well, if you put my boxers on, no. Yeah, that would be weird.
If I put more of the same knickers, but that's gross.
I don't think it is. I think it's kind of all right.
I feel like if you're going to do that, keep it to yourself.
Okay, well, I've just told everyone. So anyway, what happens is I wake up in the morning, I take my shower, I put the same boxers on, and I thought, okay, I have a really special guest on the podcast today. So I was like, what am I going to wear? And so I wore my favourite blue jumper.
You know what I was going to say to you? I love that jumper because it's not itchy. Let me just have it.
What do you mean it's not itchy?
I hate itchy jumpers.
You do?
Like knitted, itchy. Oh, I just can't do it.
You can't handle those ones?
No, even if someone's wearing it, I'm sweating for them.
Really?
Yeah, but that jumper looks perfect.
I feel, do you wake up in the morning, do you worry about what you're going to wear in the day? Or do you just, you kind of wake up and just go, right, here we go, whatever.
Oh, no, I like to plan.
Oh, you're a planner?
I'm a planner.
Okay, so what is your morning routine? So you get up and what happens?
So I always usually pick my outfit out the night before because sometimes it always needs to have a little iron.
Like you're going on holiday.
No, I usually think, like, oh, tomorrow I'll wear this. In the morning, I have to get up. I do need about an hour and a half because I like to get up, have my Actimel, have my coffee, watch a little bit of GMB this morning, maybe.
When do you pray?
There's no praying, actually.
Oh, well, I pray for...
Do you pray?
Yeah, good 2 hours in the morning. What? Why?
You do not pray.
I do. I pray for 2 hours. Okay, listen, your morning routine is just all about you, right?
It is. It's the only time you can all be about you.
Well, do you know what I do in the morning?
What?
Okay, I wake up at 4 a.m.
4?
Yeah, because then I go and feed the stray dogs. I wake up at 4 and I feed the stray dogs because there's loads of stray dogs in Chelsea.
There's no.
Yeah.
He's such a wild.
There are.
There is not. I would love to live in Chelsea.
Loads of them. There's loads of stray dogs. And then once I've fed all the stray dogs, I then hand out sleeping bags to all of the homeless people because there's lots of homeless people in Chelsea as well. Then I pray for 2 hours, so that takes me till 10. Then I shower because that's what I have to see.
And you live in Chelsea.
And I live in Chelsea, yeah. I'm just saying, look, Danny, that my morning is all about other people. Yours is all about yourself.
And I don't believe anything what you just said. You feed the ducks as well. Is that fitting in the morning?
Occasionally I do. Yeah, you're right.
You do have a lot of ducks in Chelsea.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Private Parts Podcast. This is where we read the most intimate and sort of details of our lives in the studio. Danny Dyer! Honestly, I am so excited to have you on the podcast. I've been trying to get you on the podcast for so long. I feel like I've been harassing you on Instagram.
I see it today, right? Because obviously you tagged me in a few of your stories. Yeah. And then I sort of scrolled up. I was like, oh my God, I've been like blanking him.
Yeah, you have been blanking me. You've been blanking me a lot.
I didn't realise you sent me messages.
You've been blanking me a lot. But this happens all the time, so don't worry, it's not just you. I've been asking, you know Maya Jammer?
Yeah.
Okay, so I've been asking Maya Jammer quite a lot, and I had to do something with her yesterday, and I didn't realise she was going to be there, so I turned and went, oh shit, there's Maya. So I had to slyly go onto my Instagram and unsend all of
messages.
Yeah, I did.
She might not have seen them.
You know, she didn't see them because it didn't say seen on me, so I unsent them all and went, hey Maya, how you doing? Yeah, because it's kind of awkward, right? Because I totally get it, because I just send the message out and hope that people reply.
Oh.
Now, is this your first podcast you've ever done? Or have you done some before?
I've done a couple of podcasts, actually, but not loads and loads. I feel like it's quite a new thing, but it's been around.
It's been around but you're a talker, right? So you're kind of a great kind of person to as a guest to have on a podcast.
Really?
Yeah, I think you're a good talker.
I do like talking. Yeah, not rubbish.
Because obviously, for people who, I mean, every single person in the country knows exactly who you are. But for people who don't know you are, you started on Love Island.
I know.
Oh, you didn't start on Love Island. You started in your mummy's womb. But you started where you kind of shot upwards. That was
mad.
And I also met you when I came out to the villa.
Yeah, you did. Oh my God.
And it was so weird seeing you guys, because I walked in and I became starstruck.
And I was like, oh my God.
We were starstruck as well, because obviously we'd like, I've known you, well, you haven't known me, but I've known you on, seen you on TV for years. So it's always a bit weird for me.
So you're saying you're a fan.
I'm a massive fan. I'm not even going to lie, I am. I do love Made in Chelsea.
It happens a lot, Danny. Listen, a lot of people come in here and they can't really talk much because they are starstruck by me. They are very starstruck. What was Love Island like for you?
I loved it.
Really?
Like, I really, really loved it. Like, you know, like when you look back at something, I just can't look at anything negative from it. Like, I thought it was just such a good experience and it was so much fun.
But being like 10 weeks in one place, that's intense.
It was. I did struggle. The first week I was there, it was really weird because you're in bed with someone you don't know. You haven't really got any friends. You can't ring anyone. You can't talk to anyone other than these people. And I remember the first week I just kept crying.
Yeah, but that's boarding school. That's literally, it literally is.
Literally. That's get literally someone to eat, went to shower.
This is what I had. When I was 8 years old, I said this before, when I was 8 years old, my mum took me to boarding school and she didn't explain the concept of boarding school. And I arrived and she freaking left and I was like, what the hell? And then I was staying in a room with a bunch of people that you don't know and you kind of have to make friends,
right? You have to get along with people. You have to.
But I suppose the hardest thing for that, like, because you're so in the public eye and because of who your family is and things like that, you've kind of always experienced that and different things. But when you're in there, you have no idea what the hell is going on in the outside world. So you just don't know anything. So you don't know how you're being perceived. You don't know what people are thinking of you, all those different things. Does that scare you a little bit or no?
I think it was scary when we was in there, but you're so protected. You are just in this bubble and you sort of forget you're doing a show. You sort of forget, oh, we're filming Love Island, because you just so easily just get lost in this world that you're in. In the end, we did start just laughing at everything we was doing though. Like when we had to have chats and stuff, I just couldn't take it seriously.
Really?
Really. But then when we come out, it was scary because it was like crazy.
Because people are meeting you at the airport and stuff like that.
People pushing over buggies, you know, like
over buggies.
Yeah, they were pushing buggies over. Like, it was crazy. I remember just standing there thinking, oh my God. I was petrified.
Shit, but that's like real fame.
Yeah, it was all in one hit.
But then how do you, because there's lots of different things, right? Because it's funny with something like fame, because when I was a kid, right, all I wanted to do was become famous, because I thought that would be like, oh my God, if I become famous, everyone's going to love me and all these different things.
Yeah, yeah.
And then actually when you realize that you get that fame, actually, firstly, it's meaningless. And secondly, it's you kind of want your privacy back a little bit.
Definitely. I think when my friends go out to certain things and I think, oh, I would love to be able to go and do that with them. You know what I mean?
Because you feel like you can't do that sometimes.
Yeah, I do. I do think sometimes you do have to restrict yourself on what things you do and going out. And you know what I mean? I love it. Like, it's so nice when people come up to you and they're really nice to you. But if I'm in a bit of a rubbish mood, I think they meet the version of me that I don't want them to meet. You know?
But you're never in a rubbish mood.
Oh, I can be. So I'll just stay indoors. Like, I'll just think, you know what, I'm just going to stay indoors. I'm not going to go out. I miss the school run.
Wait, what happens? What happens when you get in like a rubbish mood? Do you get grumpy sometimes?
Yeah, I'm one of them. If I'm down, I'm really down. Everything goes wrong. Like, I had it the other day. Like, the shredder, you know, like all the paper in that, it just...
Wait, hang on.
You know, the shredding machine. So this is how my day started.
I can't wait for this.
I have to tell you, it was the worst that morning of my life.
Okay, tear up.
So
you just the night before you had laid your clothes out. so you were super ready for all of that.
I woke up with my fresh dressing gown on and then I come down and the shredder machine thing was full up. So, but for some reason, as I've opened it, it's just gone everywhere. So all this little bit of paper is just all on the floor. Obviously, the Hoover, like, wouldn't hoover it all up, right? So now I'm, like, sweaty and having a breakdown. And I was like, okay, what do I do? Then the Hoover, I was like, oh, the duster, that's why. So I've gone to empty, obviously, all the dust in it. It's missed the bin. So now all the dust is on the floor. Then I want to hoover up the dust. Then the Hoover runs out of battery. I literally just stood there.
Holy
and I was
shit.
Like, someone is testing me.
Oh, no,
me
it's today. Armageddon.
Yeah. I've cried when I've missed the bin men. Yeah, I do.
No, you haven't, Danny.
They come once every 2 weeks. If you miss them, then that's it.
Well, you do. It's not like missing a bus.
No, my bins were full up. I didn't know what to do. I cried. I snoozed my alarm and I shouldn't have snoozed it. And I just stood there and I could just see it in the far distance. And I thought, I can't run. I wanted to run down the road and go, please come back.
So what do you do then? You just have to pile up the bins?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, just pile them up and hope for the best, really. I took it down to my nan's, to be honest.
Did you?
Yeah, she's got a shoot room. She lives in Canning Town.
Wait, is a shoot room one of the things that you put the rubbish in and it flies?
Yeah, she lives
to?
In Canning Town, so they've got all of them.
Oh my God. But you see, I feel like with you, the best thing about you, and have you always been this way? You know, when you're kind of who you are, you're just you. Mm-hmm. You don't change who you are. You're so authentic. You're so real. And I think but I think it's true, man. Like I think that's why everyone fell in love with you. The whole country didn't love on is because you were just that real person. You didn't try and pretend you were anything else or do anything else. Did you kind of, or have you always been that way?
I think so. I think I always have. I think I'm like a mixture between my mum and my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But they're so normal. Like, I've always had a normal life, really. Like, although my dad was in the public eye and he was an actor, he still brought me up as just a normal kid, you know? So I still had to work, you know, earn money. It was never like an... Although it was great being brought up by my mum and dad, I still had to, you know, wash up and to earn me 20 quid. Do you know what I mean?
Did you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to... blitz the house if my mum was on holiday, like clean it from top to bottom for 40 quid. And I used to love it. And then obviously
you used to get them for 40 quid? Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, but trust me, that was like, you don't understand why I had to clean if my mum was on holiday, everything.
Mate, okay, with that's when I was younger, the only way I earned money was I had to walk up and down our drive.
I can imagine how long that drive was.
It was, yeah. Do you know what?
You have fountains and everything.
No fountains, but a lot of daffodils. And we had to walk up and down the drive, and every dead daffodil there was, I'd have to pick the head off. And put it in a little basket, and I would get 10p
I'd love to do that.
Yeah, but I got 10p per daffodil.
I'm
you
sure
got 40...
you was all right.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't. You got 40 quid for doing that.
No, but it was a lot of cleaning.
Really?
All week. And then my dad took the credit. So I sort of, my mum would come home and go, oh, Dan, I can't believe you've done that.
But then the thing is, your family were, you know, your dad was in acting and these different things. And then this idea came along that you wanted to go on Love Island and do this different. Yeah. Was that chaos?
Yes. Like absolute chaos. Because I originally went on the Survival of the Fittest show, the ITV2 show.
That was a really good show, actually.
But I dislocated that start. I was only on it for eight
hours. I reckon
hours.
You would have done really well from that.
Jamie, don't be horrible.
Well, I didn't see season two. That was you.
No, you know what? Listen, they tried, but some things don't work out.
What was the concept of that show? That was like, was it men? It was it like men
girls
versus
again,
women?
Yeah, it was like men versus women, like having to do like challenges and all that kind of stuff. And I quite liked that. Like,
yeah, sure.
When we got approached for it, I was like, oh, actually, I like that. Because I was so scared of doing the whole love thing on TV. So then when I literally dislocated my shoulder, worst pain of my life.
On purpose?
Definitely not on purpose. I thought my arm was going to have to be amputated because it was like dangling off me.
How did you do it?
I come down. You know what really upset me? I read that book, The Secret, that the week before.
I listened to that at night time.
Yeah, I listened to it, read it, like everything. And then top of the slide, I go down and dislocate my shoulder. And I remember crying and I went, that book, she just wanted a mortgage. It didn't mean anything. Like I was sobbing my heart out because I couldn't believe I dislocated my shoulder on tennis.
Wait, hang on. So you went down the slide.
And as I come up, like there was like mud and I've slipped and then I just heard my arm like crunch and it was dragging along in the mud. Like I was carrying on and I was like, no, there's something wrong with my arm here. And then they looked at me and they was like obviously turn off the camera sort of thing. I was on a drip and it was the worst time of my life. It was really bad.
So you did that one and... I mean, weirdly, that's kind of like a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, oh my God,
right?
That is such a blessing in disguise. Yeah, if so I was on secret, that one more day, so you, I would have been allowed to have done Love Island.
You dissing the author of The Secret, actually, she was helping you out.
Yeah, you know what I really like? I'd love to actually give her a cuddle.
Firstly, can we just talk about that book? Because I understand what The Secret is about manifestation, right? So it's all about going, okay, I believe this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And then you really think it. And I listen to it at nighttime now. It's long. Like, I woke up at, like, 4 a.m. and she was still talking.
She's still going.
She is still going.
But she knows that she means what she says, and I do believe her.
I'm just not sure. Because there was one bloke who went, I've started, and he's Australian. He goes, I started a business, and I said, this year we're going to turn over $100,000. And we did. And I'm like,
no,
okay. And then he said... And then his wife told him to say, well, let's think we're going to turn over a million. And then we did. I was like,
no, I know. I think certain things are a little bit like, but I think you want to aim high.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think there's a lot. This is actually, so when I was a kid, my brother used to tell me stories of Jamie and Sweetwell.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment.
Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
This is totally true. So I was so scared of the dark as a kid.
Oh,
yeah, really scared of the dark. And I hated falling asleep. So what my brother did told me stories of Jamie and Sweet World. And so throughout my entire life, I had this like vision of like this Sweet World. And that's why now I went and set up a sweet company.
Oh my God, I know.
Yeah, so exactly. So these like manifestation things like definitely 100% happen if
that's
you really think
them. That's
why
I totally agree with it. I totally agree. I think if you're negative as well, negative things do come to you.
Yeah, I totally agree. So wait, hang on. So you did Survival of the Fittest.
Yeah.
It was an ITV.
Mm.
And then that didn't work out. But then Love Island came across. Mm. And Love Island is a show which you weren't sure about. It's one of those shows where you have to fall in love and you have to show your emotions on TV and all la 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 and all those different things. So how did it happen? How did you tell your family? And when did you say, right, I'm going to go and do this?
Well, they sort of approached me straight away about Love Island. I sort of had a joke. I remember I was sitting there and I was like, well, there's always Love Island. I was like, never in a million years. I'm not going on Love Island. So I was saying no for ages until maybe the April when Lewis, the guy, was like, oh, can I meet you? You know, one of the producers, I'd love to meet you and have a chat and stuff, see how you are. And then he just sort of sat there and was like, just come on. Like, why don't you just want to come on Love Island? Like, just come and meet the execs with me. Like, it'll be great. And I was like, fine, Lewis, like, I'll go and meet them. And then I met them. And when they sort of explained to me that I don't have to have sex on TV, I was like, because I don't want to have sex on
wait,
TV.
Wait. So they sat you down and they
I was like,
look,
you don't
listen,
have to do
you
it.
Don't have to.
Yeah. I was like, I don't want to have sex with someone on telly. I don't want to do this. I was like, I don't want to show my... I'll have bad luck.
Thought that would be your aim, to go on TV
well,
and
people
have
do that,
sex.
Don't they? When you're in, like, falling for someone, that's what you do as a normal person.
In the first season of Love
Oh,
Island.
God, they was at it. Wasn't it was like they'd never had it before.
It's like they just broken out of prison.
Yeah.
It was literally like...
That was too much.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
Like,
how can your nan look at that?
Yeah, I don't think my nan would mind so much, but when I see myself kissing on camera, I'm a terrible kisser.
I've seen you kissing.
I feel like...
I don't like watching people kiss. I think it's a bit weird.
Firstly, let's just get this right. I'm an awesome kisser. I just look terrible.
As long as you're enjoying it, that's what matters.
Well... They are. So it's fine. But I do. But I, when I kiss, it's like I look really awkward. I look kind of weird. I look different things. I can't even imagine having sex on.
Yeah.
That would just be the most horrendous thing.
And there's everyone around you.
Yeah, everyone's around you. All those different things. So you go into the thing. They say they say, I don't want to have sex on camera. All that.
Yeah,
stuff.
And I was just panicking. I was just like, I don't know if I want to do it. Blah blah blah. And they just sort of said, listen, go and stop worrying about what the concept is. Just go in there and have a good time. Have a good summer. Like, go and enjoy it. I was like, what else are you doing, really? I was like, you in love? You got anything going on? I was like, yeah, no, I'm still in the same... I was still sort of reading the same script. Do you know what I mean? Doing the same things over and over and over again.
You're still reading the secret.
Reading the secret, just praying. No, I didn't like him at this point. But yeah, and I was like, oh, you know what? And then when I went home, my mum was the one that made me do it. My mum.
Pushy mum.
Yeah, she's Kris Jenner.
Go, get on that show and have sex. You better get on there. Better have sex with loads of people.
Don't. Oh my God, no. So
what did she say?
She was like, just go and, I think she wanted me to go and have a good summer. She was like, go and enjoy yourself. I think I was so down after I hurt my shoulder, couldn't do anything, couldn't work. So she was like, I think it would be good for you. And I was like, I don't think I'm going to tell daddy though, because he was not. Because obviously when he heard the rumours and stuff, because it was in the papers ages before I even said yes. He was like, you ain't going to go on that show, are you? I was like...
Why does he sound like that?
I ain't going to go on that show, are you? I was like, oh, no, no, Dad, don't worry. I'd never go on that. But I literally told him 2 weeks before. I weren't going to tell him. I was like, Mum, I'm not going to tell him. I'm just going to pack a little case and go. And she was like, no, you have to tell him you're going to be on
so
tour.
Sweet. Just pack a little case. Off I go. Bye, everyone.
Got it on a day. But then my mum was like, no, it would break
his
heart.
Or whatever it is.
It would have broke his heart.
So did you tell him?
Yeah, I told him.
Okay, so wait. How did you tell him? Did you sit him down? Did you?
Oh, yeah, I sat him down. My nan was round because my nan's like a little softy. So it was me and my nan. She just cooked us steak and jacket potato and some salad.
Perfect way to get into it.
I know. And then I remember him just sitting there and I was like, oh, so Dad, about Love Island. And he just looked at me and I was like, I'm going to go on Love Island. Like, and he just looked at me and then stood up, went in the garden and had a cigarette. And I was like to him and I was like, I don't really know how he's taken it. And then he just sort of come in and what upset me, couldn't finish his dinner. So it upset me. I thought, oh, I've ruined his appetite. I like it when people eat. It really got me down. And he was just like, do what you got to do then. Don't really think you should do it. Like, why would you want to go on a show like that? But I was so happy they won a BAFTA.
Yeah.
So I could sort of put that in there a little bit. Like, they've won a BAFTA. They're great.
Yeah, but also, there's this kind of thing
that he was scared.
Yeah, but also, I totally get that he was scared. And actually, I wish my parents had said something like that because they did not say anything. They were literally like, yeah, if you want to go and do that. They didn't. And they still never watched an episode. They just,
really?
Yeah. And I've known for like 48 years. But the... Because I think also in life, right, there's these things like... life is kind of mundane and life is kind of like normal and life is very calm. And I think that doing something like that is, if you hadn't have done it, you would have always regretted doing it, right? Yeah. So it's one of those things where you just go, shit, I'm just going to have to go
and do this for myself.
And do it for myself. And also the fact that you went on it and you were just this awesome person, you kind of changed the whole narrative of the show because the show before was literally just about, you know, this and that and love and all this. And you went on just this normal person who was just super cool, who just basically actually did just fall in love and just have a wicked time.
I don't know how that happened, though, to be honest.
Yeah, you did.
Someone likes me up there. I always say that.
It's the secret. That's what happens.
I told you, she's got a little soft spot for her.
But then you come out of the show and all this chaos is going on and all these different things. Mm. And with you, I suppose, did you always have an understanding or a direction of where you wanted to go and do different things like that? Because you always wanted to do acting, didn't you?
I loved acting. Like, I've always loved it. You know, there's just something that you do and you just enjoy. You get that buzz from it. Mm. But it's not easy. Like, it's just really, really not. And I think before I went on Love Island, there was no path, really. Like I was saying the other day, it's so hard when someone goes, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Or what do you want to be doing next year?
Why do people do that?
I don't know. Like, I don't know what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Hopefully I'm okay.
This is the other thing, okay, about this industry, right, which I don't get, which is the other weird thing, is that, like, if you were a doctor, if you were, like, a lawyer, if you were, like, whatever, no one would say to you, when do you think you're going to give it up? And, you know, they would never say that to us. In our industry, because you'll get to, like, 31, they go, you're a bit old for that now.
Yeah.
Oh, and you kind of go, well, am I a bit old for it?
There's not an age limit on it at all.
Yeah, exactly. So I totally agree with you. Mm. We get these like things in our head that they go, right, you have to have a 5, a 10, whatever year plan. And we just don't really know what we're kind of doing.
Yeah,
right.
You don't know. And it's so much pressure as well. And, yeah. I didn't want to put pressure on myself. I literally did not think I was going to be on Love Island for 8 weeks at all. No, I don't think any. My mum and dad were in Florida when I went on Love Island. You know, they weren't thinking like, that I was going to win the job.
Yeah. But do you think as a kid that you, because you saw your dad and things like that, you always wanted to kind of be in the limelight or do something along those lines?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was always on set with him when he was doing films and I enjoyed it. I really loved it. And I loved being around people and new people. I've always found that quite interesting. Mm. But I didn't know. I didn't know what I was going to do because I was a dental nurse. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, at 16, I've become a dental nurse. Well, I trained for 2 years.
Okay, so wait, so what?
So I didn't necessarily want to. It was never about being famous. I know it sounds weird. Like, before I went to Love Island, it wasn't even about the fame. It was just, I'm going to go on it. Mm. Do you know?
Yeah, I kind of know what you mean, but I suppose, I mean,
stupid, because you are going to be, but I didn't. Yeah, well, that's the thing,
right? Like, there's a weird thing about it, because I get asked that question quite a lot of the time. They kind of say to me, people say, oh, did you go and do a reality show to be famous? And I suppose for me, the only reason you'd probably go on a TV show like that for me is that because I wanted to gain some sort of fame. Mm. If I'm totally honest, I went and did Made in Chelsea because I thought I was young. I thought I was going to be famous, and I thought I'd get girls. That's literally what I thought it would be. Because I always, as a kid, envisioned I wanted to be an actor as well. Mm. And then I went to Leeds and studied theatre and performance and did all that kind of thing. And I just realised that acting was like this hardest.
Oh,
like,
it's so hard.
Freaking hell, man. Like the rejection and the things and the auditioning and all.
So much rejection.
Did you go through all of that auditioning process?
Yep, I've done the auditioning. I've cried in a room, the casting room.
So what happens? Because I've never done an audition. When you go into an audition, does it happen when you walk in, there's like a room full of people and you have to go... Basically, everyone just looks like you. And you have to go, hey.
Hi. Is that awkward, like, hi.
Is that what actually happens?
Yeah, it's literally you're in a room. I think the most scariest thing I auditioned for was Argyle. I auditioned for that and I cried in the room. I don't know what I'm doing. She was like, can we try it this way? And I was sweating because they was running an hour late. So within that hour, you just sort of see, like, the previous person coming out. So you was just having it around you, and it's just the nerves just get on top of you. That's what it is, because you know what you're doing, but you just go in there and it's just this authority just looking at you, and you want this role so bad.
But hang on, so you auditioned for Argo and you just started crying in it?
I just cried.
Really?
Yeah, I just got, because I don't know, it just to let the nerves come over me, and she asked me to do it in a different way because the monologue, the speech thing we had to prepare was quite deep.
Yeah,
but she wanted to make it quite comical, and then I tried to make it comical, and I just
and you
cried.
Just couldn't do it, and you started crying. You started panicking
because I prepared it in a completely different way.
I really panicked. When I did my A level, I did my AS exams. Did you do ASs?
I did GCSE.
Okay, I did AS English, and I was studying Jane Eyre. And my mum always said to me, when you go in the exam, just take it easy, relax, don't just rush through it. And I was like, yeah, okay, fine. And this is when I really panicked. And I went into the exam hall and I opened up my exam and started looking through, and I didn't know any of the questions. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know any of the questions. So I went through it one more time. I thought, I don't know any of the questions. So I sat up in the chair and I thought, I'm going to have to faint. I'm going to have to pretend to faint.
What?
Yeah, I was like, I'm going to have to pretend to faint to get out of this exam. So honestly, I was on the verge of just going, and then fainting off my chair because I was freaking out so much in this exam. Because it does, though, when you get that panic, it comes over you.
What can I do?
And you start to freak out so much. But I suppose then what also happens is like that, you know, if you have that, for me, I get kind of anxious and things like that over certain things. And, you know, you came out of Love Island and you were with Jack, obviously your ex and things like that. And that was so public and everything was on you so much all of the time. The papers, the press. I've never really had that. Is that quite hard to handle?
It was hard. But I think when you're in a good place and you're going for a good time, and I feel like the papers and the press, you just sort of go with it. But it was weird being in the papers. It's weird.
But it's every single move that you do.
Everything you do. It was intense and it was a bit crazy. And I don't know how. I was still in a bubble though. But I remember us being, and we was like, I just want to go back in that bubble, really. But it was difficult. I think it is. It is always hard because you are under a microscope and you want to be a role model.
I just think it would be hard all the time. Because
it is hard when you're in a public relationship because everything you do is watched. And
because I'm sure you don't mind like saying things, you know, because when you guys were like either breaking up or not breaking up, it was just like, you know, are they, aren't they, are they, aren't they, the entire time. I mean, that's freaking bullshit.
It was annoying. And then you'd sort of get back together and to try and make it work, because that's what you do normally. Like in normal relationships, you do that. You want to get back together. You want to try and make it work. You want to see if there's anything left.
Yeah.
And that's what we tried to do, but everything was then, you know, they're with each other for the contracts. And what contract?
What?
I would love to know what contract I've signed.
Is that what they used to say?
Yeah. You were together. Or the money's run out or something like that. Their money's run out. Or I don't.
What?
Just the people's things people say, they literally all read the same script, I'm telling you.
That is too good. Right, Danny, also, in this podcast, what we like to do is read a diary. Now, do you drive?
Yes.
Oh, well, you're going to like this one because I don't drive.
I bet you have a chauffeur.
No, I don't. Why would I? Oh, hey, your contract run out. So there you go.
You live in Chelsea.
So because I live in Chelsea, I have a chauffeur.
I love Chelsea. It's just different, ain't it?
What do you mean? It's not like Eden.
Coffee shops. I love it. I love the way you like dine and stuff. Like, I love the way the wine gets poured.
No, what? Hang on a second. What do you mean? It's nothing like that.
You just go to afternoon tea and I love it. You've just
never done that.
You just book like little trips away and I just love it. It's so great.
My helicopter's literally parked on the roof. Okay, here we go. So this is my diary that I'm going to read you. So sit back, relax, and just enjoy yourself. Monday. It's the beginning of the week, which means new start, or so I say in my own head. I feel like I want to tackle this week head on. Come on, Monday, I'm going to beat you. Tuesday, I see you around the corner. Oh, Wednesday, you better be scared, and don't get me started about Thursday. Yeah, that's what I say every week.
What is that?
Me just taking on the week.
Well, I thought it was a diary.
Yeah, it is. This is my diary.
Diaries are meant to be like what you're like. Yeah. How you're feeling, your emotions.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm feeling.
You've not dug deep enough.
Well, listen, here we go then. I'll get deeper. Do you want me to cry? Is that what you want me to do? If you want me to cry, I'll cry, all right? But it's Monday, so I'm going to tackle this Monday and what I'm going to do to make this one epic. And then it came to me. I decided I was going to book my theory test for the 58th time.
No.
Yep.
How can you fail your theory?
Well, very easily.
I passed my first time.
Well, that's because you obviously studied. I didn't study.
Well, you should study.
Well, the best business plan is no business plan. So there you
go. Download the app and you'll be fine.
Well, I don't want to download the app. Listen, stop at red, go at green, go round the roundabout clockwise.
Listen, you need to know it all.
No,
just
you don't.
Just do it.
Who needs to know if I need a jockey system for a caravan?
You've got a chauffeur.
The tyres are 2.4 millimetres thick.
Listen, just do it, honestly. 58 times.
Yes, 58 times. Well, I haven't.
And you went to boarding school. How do you not know?
Didn't teach me theory tests. Listen, here we go. Now I've said this before. I've booked my theory test 57 times in my life. Failed it twice. See,
and so just never turn up.
And just missed the other 55 times due to numerous reasons, mainly being hungover, I think. However, they say 58 is a charm. So here we go. I did the usual, logging onto the Gov website to book my test. The usual questions flared up: type of vehicle, surname, and the dreaded provisional license number, which even on the 58th time, I still don't know. As I typed it in and tried to click through, it didn't allow me. I was confused, angry. How dare my Monday that I was going to destroy be stunted at the first hurdle? It said I had to call the customer service. I wasn't going to fail at this time. Turns out, because I had booked my theory test so many times, there's been a mark put on the system under my name. God. I had to clear the mark to make sure it's actually me booking it. After a slightly awkward, embarrassing conversation explaining that, yes, it was me booking my theory test so many times, and for the 58th time booking my theory test for £23, I did it.
Oh, my God.
Yes, Monday, you can't do anything to stop me.
I like that.
You like that?
I'm going to start doing that.
What, booking your theory test 58 times?
No, writing your emotions down in a diary.
Yeah.
When is the theory test?
It's in a couple of weeks.
Why? Just go.
I'm going to go to it, all right, now. I'm going to go to it.
I know what it is. You get a little bit scared.
I don't get scared
you
at all.
You do get a little bit scared.
I don't get
it's
scared.
It's all right. You can be scared.
I don't get
you
scared. Do. I don't get scared. I put my headphones on.
It's,
sit in my
box.
It
is a weird little place, isn't it, the little box?
It is fucking weird. And they're
it's
all...
Odd. I still like put your stuff in the lockers and I didn't like all that.
Have you?
A bit odd.
What, like a gym?
I passed with flying colours.
You don't like putting your stuff in the lockers?
You do. You have to put all my stuff in the locker. You have I suppose not the one you were going
the
to.
The worst is when I was a kid. Did you ever go to like the swim parks and things like
that? Oh, I hate swimming.
You hate swimming?
It just bores me. You know, like when you see people swimming and they look that. I love it, like the way the water glistens on their skin and they look great. And I just think, so boring.
What?
I want to be that person, but I can't do it.
You can't just go out to the sea and just like swim around.
I don't get in the sea really.
You scared of it?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to do a quick test on you then to find out. This is interesting. This is going to understand before we get to the end of part one. This is how you're going to understand your personality. You ready for this?
All right, then.
What's your favorite animal?
Oh, I like hippos.
Okay, hippo. What's your second favorite animal?
Giraffe.
Giraffe. What do you think of when you think of the ocean?
Salt.
Interesting. What do you think of when you think of darkness?
Oh, sleep.
Sleep. All right. Well, listen, in part two, we're going to find out the answers to that. And you're going to find out your personality. Wow, what a cliffhanger that's going to be. Hey, Danny, having fun?
I'm having so much fun.
I'm having so much fun. See you in part two, everybody. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.